Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. God bless you. Please pray for my safety. I've preached in a lot of situations before, but never quite like this one. Hope I don't fall. I think the sermon has been preached, really. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Thank God for preachers' wives. We all know that value. I learned, would you turn to John chapter 6, please? I learned in my ministry that originality was not my assignment. To be Spirit-filled was. You've heard a lot of sermons from this place, but I want to revisit it. It should be the most preached on miracle in the Bible, because it is the most often mentioned one in the Bible. I want to go to John chapter 6, and with your permission, I want to talk to you tonight about the biggest miracle in the life of Jesus Christ up to this point. The biggest thing in His life up to this point was the miracle of feeding of the 5,000. What we're trying to do this week in this church is the biggest thing going in this church, and that's world evangelism. Thank God for your vision of that, and I know you know that. And I'm praying this year that we'll have by far the largest commitment that this church has ever had. We can only do that if everybody does something. And everybody does something more than the year before. Because there's more to do, more that can be done, more to you and less time to accomplish the purpose. And so I trust you're praying about that. Now I want to go in with a read, please, at John chapter 6. And we'll read at verse 5. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And he took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise the fish as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Verse 14 will be our text. Let's bow our head and make our prayer. Dear God in heaven, I thank you tonight for these ladies and what they represent and who they represent. Thank you for them giving of their lives because of their husbands, because they have given their lives. And Lord, we need an army of people that will go to all the world and preach the gospel. And Lord, I pray you'd raise up from this church not only $1 million in commitments. I pray, dear God, you'd raise up men and women that will go and carry the gospel. The gospel's never been where a man didn't put it. And so, Lord, we can have all kinds of dollars stacked up, but if we can't find people to send, then the gospel remains unsent. So even tonight, speak to us about that, and I'll thank you for it. And I love you, Jesus, and I pray in your precious name, amen. This is the biggest thing up to this point that has happened in the ministry of Jesus Christ. As you know, Jesus did 32 miracles. This is number 10 of the 32. It is such a big thing in the ministry of Jesus that all four gospel writers addressed it in their writing. Matthew addressed it, Mark addressed it, Luke addressed it, and John addressed it. It was just a big thing. It was such a big thing in the ministry of Jesus that it's only one of two miracles that he referred back to in his own ministry later on. And so it was a big thing. But here's the sad part. In spite of this being the big thing in the ministry of Jesus, there was a reluctant disciple in the mix. His name was Philip. Philip was reluctant to be a part of the big thing that God was doing in the life of his son. It's surprising that he'd be reluctant based upon the fact Jesus was very clear as to what he wanted to do. He had compassion, and he wanted to feed the 5,000. He was very clear, so Philip would not have any confusion, and yet he was still reluctant. It's strange that he was reluctant when there was a legitimate need that should be taken care of by God's people, but Philip was reluctant. Philip was reluctant in spite of the fact that he was in a position where he could be a meaningful part of the solution to the problem of lack of bread. He was reluctant. May I say to you, we could summarize the life of Philip by simply saying he was not on the same page with the dear Lord Jesus. But I don't want to be too hard on Philip, for I suggest to you this scene is replayed millions of times across America in churches and in the lives of individual Christians. The Lord has made it very clear what he wants done. He wants the world evangelized. We have great clarity as to his assignment. It's a legitimate need because the world needs to be saved and they need to get to the cross or they're going to go to hell. So it's a legitimate need. We're in a position to have a meaningful part. Don't we have bread enough to share with the world? We have a great assignment. It's the greatest thing in the life of Jesus and in his heart. It's world evangelism. And we're not told to reach 5,000. We're told to reach 6 billion. It's a big thing. And yet, there's a lot of Philips in our churches, probably some even in this one, not on the same page. I ask myself, why wasn't Philip on the same page and why aren't some of us? I give these very short answers and a very quick message. Number one, he wasn't on the same page because when commitment was asked for, he forgot to factor in God. When commitments were asked for, he forgot to factor in God. Look what Jesus said in verse 3. Jesus said in verse 3, in verse 5, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus Christ is offering partnership in the assignment. Notice his response in verse 7. Philip answered, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them that everyone may take a little. You know what he forgot to do? He forgot to factor in that Jesus Christ would partner with him in the project. How could you say to God the Creator, that we don't have sufficiency? He's the Creator. So he didn't factor God in. I want to ask you, why would Philip think that Christ would be a partner in the project? Let me have you write this down in your heart. Because it was Jesus' idea. Whose idea was it to feed 5,000? It wasn't Philip's or Andrew's or the council or the pastor. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his idea. Therefore, we should believe that he is willing to be a part of his own idea and his own assignment. The question is, do we have a right? Can we trust Jesus Christ to partner with us? World evangelism is his idea. It's not my idea. It's not Brother Doug's idea. It's not Oswald Smith's idea. It's not John R. Rice's idea. It's not the Apostle Paul's idea. It's Jesus' idea. And therefore, we can expect him to partner with us. He's promised his power. He's promised His presence and He's promised His assets. So would you please, in Jesus' name, on Wednesday night, when you're called upon to make your commitment, be sure and recognize your partner. Be sure and recognize that Jesus Christ will give through you what He not give to you. Be sure and recognize that He has a great concern that you partner with Him in world evangelism, and don't just figure out what you can do. Ask Him what He wants to do through you. And so that was one reason He went on the same page. He forgot to factor in Lord Jesus when He was considering His commitment. Here's the second reason that He wasn't on the same page. He had forgotten the examples of others that God had partnered with. I assume He knew the Bible. I assume He knew of the Old Testament. And I'll give you just one example of God partnering with a man to do a miracle, and that's Moses. Moses went down into Egypt and brought 1 million people. Some say 3 million, but for math's sake, I'll say 1 million. He brought 1 million people out of Egypt. You know what His assignment was, class? His assignment was to feed 1 million people 2 meals a day. I like our plan better. I like 3 meals and a snack. But the Jews only ate two meals a day. Coming out of Egypt, He had 1 million people to provide 2 meals a day for 40 years, plus to drink. I had a fellow figure that up. If every human being of that million only ate 6 ounces of manna, that is 375 tons of food a day that Moses had to provide for that million people. In light of that, He's not asking much out of Philip. We're feeding 5,000 one meal and send them on their way. We're not going to have to fool with them 40 years, and there's only 5,000 of them compared to 1 million. You see, if we stop and think what God has done in the lives of others, we might decide we certainly can do something great for our God because of what He's done in the other lives. Stop and think about this. I had a guy figure this up for me. You know how many meals Moses had to provide for the people of Israel? 2 billion, that's with a B. 2,292,000,000 meals in 40 years. Now, can you imagine Moses stepping out and leading that crowd and saying, "Don't worry, I'll take care of you"? If all Philip would have to do is decide if God could do it then, here's a good question. Is He the same God today? Is our God getting old like Jack? I'm the Lord and I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He could do it with Moses, He could do it with Philip, and He can do it with Fred. And He can do it with you. The problem is we won't step out and get in line for the bread. So what are you saying, Brother Keene? I'm saying Romans 15:4. These things were written for our learning. So, Philip didn't make, he wasn't on the same page because he forgot to factor God in. He wasn't on the same page because he forgot the good Bible examples. And then he wasn't on the same page because he forgot how God had worked previously in his own life. This will help you if you need it. 32 miracles. This is number 10. The apostles were present for most of the previous 10, and Philip was an apostle. Philip was there when he turned the water to wine. Philip was there when he healed the impotent man at Bethesda who had been crippled for 38 years. Philip was there when the centurion's servant was healed. Philip was there when the sea was stilled. Philip was there when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. Philip was there when a blind man was healed and a deaf man received hearing. Philip was there when Jesus cast the demons out of the man of Gadara. Philip had a lot of wonderful past experiences that he could have drawn on and said, he's the same God now as he was in my earlier experiences, and I'll trust him now as I trusted him then. What's the point, preacher? The point is, this church and this membership ought to look back over its history and see what miracles God has done and decide he's not done doing them. So he wasn't on the same page because he forgot his own wonderful past. You know the problem with a revival and miracles, sometimes in the middle of it, you don't know you're having it. You look back later and think, wow, that's wonderful. I told you the other night, we built $10.5 million worth of buildings when I was in Milford and built them debt free. At the time, I didn't know exactly how great that was. And how God was moving among us. And I can tell you stories to you would wish I would go home about how God moved just in the times when we needed Him to move. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying inventory your life and you're going to find you've been living some miracles. And God wants to do it again. And this is not my point, but I throw this in. If Philip had only thought that he might not do any more until we participate in this one, because there's 22 yet to come, if he'll go ahead and get on board. And I don't think God is done doing what he wants to do here, but he might not do much more here, and do you go ahead and get on board in the big thing. Now, would you write this down? Philip proves good men can be wrong. Was Philip a good man? He was saved. He belonged to a good church and had a great pastor. He had the right doctrine and probably even had the right separation position. But he was wrong on this big issue. He was a good man with a lot of resume, but he was wrong on this particular issue. May I say to you, please now, I mean to be kind when I say this, if you're not big on this issue of world evangelism, you are wrong. Say it again, Brother King, not so loud. If you're not good on this issue of world evangelism, you are wrong. You're a good person. You belong to a good church. You have a great pastor. Amen. Thank you, Brother King. And you have right doctrine. And you're saved. And there's a lot on your resume. But if you don't care what he cares about, there's something wrong. And the truth is, there's a lot of folks in this church and all churches that are on the same page and don't care. I want to rush and give me my next point before that one causes me too much trouble. Philip proved good men who are wrong will get right. Say it again, Brother King. Good men who are wrong will get right. Now, where'd you see that at? Look at verse 11 of John chapter 6. And Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And then my Bible verse has a parenthetical clause there. Don't yours? Except Philip. Does your Bible say that? Sound to me like all of them got in line. Sound to me like all of them got on the same page. You know, I wish I'd have been there. I told you I have a big mind. I do graffiti on it. Wouldn't you like to have been there when this was starting? And the Lord had him over in a business meeting on a stump. And he said, we're going to feed this whole crowd, 5,000, who knows how many others, counting the women and the kids. We're going to feed these 5,000 men. And the Apostle Peter, he probably stood up and said, I want to ask you a question, Lord. What are we going to feed them? And the Lord brought that sack lunch with those biscuits and throwbacks. Now, that would take some courage, wouldn't it? To move out to that hungry crowd, they seat in rows of 50 and left the cross aisle, and they start moving through the crowd. Everybody be seated, find some grass, get comfortable. We're going to feed you because you're hungry. And some fellow raised his hand and said, I want to ask you a question, Apostle. What are you going to feed us? And Peter said, you better not go in that right now. Just sit down. Amen. It says in verse 11, the Lord gave to the disciples, and sounds to me like Philip, sometime between verse 7 and verse 11, got right. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 11 baskets. Is that what yours says? Huh. Isn't that something? 12. How many apostles were there? 12. How many must have got right? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if everybody in this church got on the same page that Philip finally got on? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Everybody doing something more than the year before. Wouldn't that be, that'd be awesome? I mean, this is wonderful here. I asked the pastor, I said, Brother Ripley, are you taping this? I'd like to have it. And he said, I'm not giving it to you, you're usually against me. But I'd like to have a tape of this. This is wonderful. But you know what would, you know what would exceed this? If everybody in this church that took advantage of the membership of this church would decide, I'm getting on that page. Get in line. Every member. Get your bread. Get your fish. Help us send the gospel around the world. You know why they want to feed them all? Did you ever know that? You know why we fight so much? Same reason kids fight playing their food when after they're full in the high chair. I mean, we got so much gospel and so much bread around here that we just fighting all the time and playing on our food instead of realizing those guys in the back row, they need fed too. And so Philip got on the same page because I wonder why he did. I'll give you these ideas. I do not know that these are the right ones. Maybe he realized, hey, God will help me. That was point one. I'll factor God into this thing. Maybe that's why he got on the same page. Maybe you realized point number two. Maybe he remembered, hey, I remember God has done some great things in the lives of others, and he's no respecter of persons, and he hasn't changed, and I'm one of his children. Maybe he'll do it for me too. Or maybe he thought, you know, not only that, I remember some wonderful things he's already done for me, and who said he's done yet doing the good things? I'm going to go ahead and get in line and do my part because God is God. Or maybe he got on the right page because Andrew made him feel bad. I mean, Andrew's just an apostle. And Philip's an apostle. And maybe because of Andrew's conduct, Philip decided if he can do it, I should do it too. Or maybe he got on the right page because that little boy stepped up and did his part. And who in the world wants a little boy wants to look bad because of a little boy? Or maybe he got on the right page because he saw the other 11 stacked up on that side and decided, that's where I need to be. I need to get over my pettiness and my being cantankerous, and I need to get over there with the rest of those people and do what they're going to do and what the pastor wants done. And so I'm just saying that good men who are wrong can and probably will get right. Here's my last point, and I quit, and I promise. Philip got on the right page because he finally got the big picture. Now listen, George Grace, a friend of mine, friend of your pastor's, friend of you, and he has and I heard somebody talking about today in one of the classes, he has a deal called the big Bible picture or something like that. And it's trying to get people to see the big picture. Now, I want to ask you a question. In this story, what is the big issue? All Philip could see for a while was fishes, food, and faces. He thought the big issue was getting this crowd fed. That is not the issue in this story. The issue in this story is verse 14. Can I read it for you, please? He saw the big picture. Look at verse 14. Then those men. Now, who does that phrase refer to? Those 5,000. Then those men, that 5,000, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is a prophet, this is of the truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now, class, let me ask you a question. What is the big picture? The big picture is that Philip was being offered an opportunity in which Jesus Christ could be elevated in the lives of those he helped feed. The big picture here is an opportunity to see Christ exalted in the lives of some that he had not been exalted in yet. What is missions all about? Missions, of course, is getting people saved, but the big picture is missions is reaching people, getting them saved, so they will glorify God forever and ever and ever and ever in glory. To stop and think that I could even be responsible for one person that would eternally glorify God ought to turn me on. And how many does he want glorified by? Some from every row. Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, and then all those on the back row. He wants to be worshiped and glorified by some from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Would you get on the right page? Because the big picture is God's glory. So Brother King, you're always saying that. I resigned the ministry when I realized the big picture is the glory of God by all people in all the world. So I don't know what you should do, but I do know this. You need to get on the right page. And by the way, I think you are. I'm believing God is going to do the biggest thing here that he's ever done in the area of missions this week. Let's bow our heads, please, and make our prayer.